إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، today's topic is best described in Surah Al-Jum'ah. And it wasn't a coincidence that these verses precede the verses that order you to come here to the Jum'ah. The verses of Allah where He says, قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. The thing you try to dodge, the topic you try to dodge, thinking about it, you try to dodge, talking about it, you try to dodge, it's gonna find you. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. It's gonna find you. You dodge it, it finds you. And you know what right after this verse? يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة اسعوا إلى ذكر الله. Come running. If you hear the call for Jum'ah, come running for the sake of Allah. Why did this verse that Allah talks about death precede, come right after, precede the verses that talk about Surah Al-Jum'ah? A reminder to us to keep this in the back of your mind always, to remember this topic. And this topic is not our topic today, but a small part of it is what we're going to talk about today, and you're going to get that from the following examples. In the battle of Tir, there was a Sahabi, heroic fighter. He astonished all the Sahaba. And they said, look, I'm here over. Look, he leaves no bad, he's a band he doesn't split. He leaves no big man in his face that he doesn't take up. Look at that martyr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's out. He's fighting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How could he be in hellfire? He is in hellfire. Why is he in hellfire? The Sahaba did an investigation. They investigated. They asked him. They found that he got wounded to the point he couldn't withstand. So he put the bottom up and he died until he went his back. He killed himself. Why? We're going to know in a minute. The next one is a man called Abdullah ibn Jahsh. He's the husband of the Prophet's wife, the first husband of the Prophet's wife, Habiba bin Sufyan. She was married to this man. This man goes to Habasha. Imagine this. He migrates for the sake of Allah because of the torment and torture from Habasha. He goes there for the sake of Allah. And what happens? He renders as a non-Muslim. He doesn't live but a very short time after that. Not true. Look, a very short time after that, he dies a non-Muslim. The third example, a man who's on his deathbed. In the Prophet ﷺ's time, they say, say, la ilaha illallah. Sahabi. Can't say, la ilaha illallah. Say, la ilaha illallah. Can't. This is Baradinah if he has a mother. Does he have a mother? He had a mother he was disobedient to. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to get her sympathy, to forgive him, said, gather the charcoal, we're going to put this man. I ain't sure going to happen if she doesn't forgive him. She forgives him and he says, la ilaha illallah. Our today is husn and su'il khatima. Good ending of your life and a bad ending of your life. Nah, this is the days before death. We're not even going to get into that. That's a long topic. We just want to get into the husn and su'il khatima. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innama al-a'malu bil khawatim. Your life, your deeds, your judgment is by your ending.
You know what that means? Let me break it down to you in an example. You get up at night and you pray for 3 hours. 2 rak'ahs. And just after, you're about to say, Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. You start laughing. You've ruined 3 hours worth of work. By 1 second, you do the same thing in fasting. For example, you fast a very hot day for the sake of Allah. And just before the end of your break in the fast Maghrib, you, without forgetting, without a mistake, take a cup of water. What did you do? You ruined your whole day's work. That's how Allah can do it. Tell you this, that's what's going to happen if you're not fully, like I say always, there's Muslims today who are like a balloon. That balloon, just example them, very good, much, everything. But that balloon, once a small step comes to it, it pops. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, always, one of his most famous dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka husna al-khatima. A prophet, and he, who is he? The best man to walk on the face of the earth, and he says, oh Allah, I ask you a good ending of my life. That's important, it is. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, one does the work of the right people until he in heaven get to a small, you know, small distance away from heaven. Then things change and he does the work of the evil people, he ends up in hell. And the opposite is true. Someone who does evil, evil, and just before he's about to be doomed to hell, he does something good. The explanation of this hadith is not that he's doing something good. There's another narration that explains it. It's not that he did something good. It's that he did something good so that was apparent to us. That balloon, in reality, was empty. When the test came to it, it popped. There was nothing in that balloon. And that's why the Sahaba, radwanullah alayhim ajma'in, were fearful of moments before death, more than death itself. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La ilaha illallah, inna lil mawti latakarat. مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. Oh Allah, this was the last words of your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He raises his finger to Allah, raises it up, gathers his strength at his weak moment, raises his strength, says, oh Allah, with the right people, with the messengers, with the martyrs, what will be performed? Well, that's your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr's last words on this planet were recitations of the Quran. Umar radiallahu anhu gets stabbed in his agony, his last moment. Say, did I finish Fajr? Because he got stabbed in the first rak'ah. Did I finish the second rak'ah? Or that's where I did. I got people, can't get people in their strength, in their comfort, to get up and pray one rak'ah. Umar on his deathbed is asking, did I finish my prayer or not? And then they come to him and give him Hidayah radiallahu anhu, and he used to say his famous dua. Oh Allah, I want to be a martyr and I want to be buried in Medina. Martyr and be buried in Medina doesn't work together. Because Medina was already an open city. There's no battles that go on in Medina. But Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu wanted something and he knew Allah was going to give it to him. How? I used to ask him, Umar, how are you going to be a martyr in Medina? Yeah, go outside of Medina, there'll be battlefields, people. How are you going to be a martyr in Medina? And he got his wish. Someone comes in the middle of Medina, in the middle of his prayer, and stabs him as he was praying. Uthman, go to Turkey, in the museums in Turkey, they still have the mushaf, the pages, where Uthman, radiallahu anhu, blood died as he recited. The pages where the blood is there, is still in museums in Turkey, died with the Quran. That was Uthman and Ali. Used to say on the morning of his death, I smell heaven. Today is the day I meet Allah and the messengers. These are the Sahaba that feared the days before death more than death. Abu Darda used to say and cry, work, work. A lesson to us for a day like this. In his last moment, we're telling from going to Abu Rayyan, look at their hadith, used to say in his moment, Ah, min qillat al-zad. Ah, min bu'd al-rahil wa qillat al-zad. Long journey and very little to take me. 4,000 hadith, and we take next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says long journey and very little. Let's jump over. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the famous Khalifa, he's on his deathbed. And what do you think? He lives, wife leaves him with the servant. And the servant is there, he says, excuse me, I'll be alone. This moment, his wife comes to the servant, why did you leave him alone? He said, he wants to be Rastalon. They sat outside here and mumbling, welcome to the faces. Angels coming down to him. Welcome to the face. Is it human or jinn? تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين. That's the life after. The success of the life after is for those who don't want to be supreme or commit sins in this planet. That was the last words of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. You say, as always said, these are people of past times who had good death because they were with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Iman in the day, Iman in the night. Let us jump over to the tabi'een, not to the imam, not to tabi'een, but let us jump over to our time today. Things that happened no longer than a decade ago. Stories that happened, there's books on this matter, like a su'ada wal-ashqiya, that contain stories on this matter, and they have the names of the physicians and the family. Happened to, like a woman, about 3 or 4 years ago, wedding night. That's fine. For the woman to take care of her hair and make it look beautiful and take care of her. She's late. She comes just before Maghrib and they start on her hair. Imagine that. She's in her wedding dress. You know how big the wedding dress is. How you sit on it. If you move a little bit too much, you're going to be. They sit her up and she's sitting and they're doing her hair. And Maghrib comes. She says, hurry up, I have to pray. You can. If you put water on the hair spray, the gel and the style, it's going to be ruined. I got to pray the Maghrib, she's telling them. No. She insisted she pray Maghrib. Although every devil around her, this is your wedding night. This is your future. She's still looking for her future. She gets up and leaves them all, makes wudu and prays. You know how she dies? In the last salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Whoever thought that? Whoever thought that would happen? Wallahi, authentic stories as authentic as pure. Their names and their beliefs, and some of them's addresses are in this book. As-su'ada wal-ashqiya. This is a woman who's going to come on the judgment day in her telling Allah, oh Allah, I prayed my last prayer. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh, but what is Allah going to do? You took time to rebel against all these devils around you who are telling you don't pay. Allah is going to bring her on the judgment day in the status she died in. You know that. The hadith says, the status you die in is the status you brought up on the judgment day. وَكَمْ مِنْ عَرُوسٍ زَيَّنُوهَا لِزَوْجِهَا. Like a poet said, كَمْ مِنْ عَرُوسٍ زَيَّنُوهَا لِزَوْجِهَا وَقَدْ نُسِجَتْ أَكْفَانُهَا وَهِيَ تَرِيْهَا. Any beautiful woman, they decorate for her husband on the wedding night, yet her death clothes were being made, and she doesn't perceive it. She's looking forward. This woman says, I want to pray Maghrib. Look at that, she's going to come on the judgment day praying Maghrib. And it's usually what you're going to grow up on your elder life. What you grow up on your elder life is usually what you're going to die on. Another story. Someone gets stopped. Oh, there's the story. And he stops. In an accident. And there's someone in the, and he's about to die. Given his last breath, he says to him, say la ilaha illallah. He turns down the music. The music is blasting. Imagine this. One who died, praying Maghrib. One who died, listening to the evil word, the devil, turn it down. He turns it down. He tells the man dying in there from the collision, ya man, thank you. Say la ilaha illallah. What is the answer? Ana fi saqar. Ana fi saqar. What's saqar? Sa'uslihi saqar. Wa ma adraka ma saqar. La tubqi wa la tazar. Saqar is a human. Al-Quran. Pray. Ma salakakum fi saqar. Lam naku min al-musallin. We are saying. Naku nufa'im al-miskin. He's seen it. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh, my heaven. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. Like another woman. A true woman. In a classroom. In Egypt. The teacher was teaching Islamic studies and going over the history of Fir'aun and the daughter of Fir'aun. Fir'aun had a daughter who embraced the religion of Musa alayhi salam. And what happened to that daughter was Fir'aun took his grandkids and put them one after the another in a burning oil. And another father then took his daughter and put her in there. And they're shouting and screaming in the audience. And it's a girl dying. And they don't know she's dying. They take her out thinking she needs to get room. As they put her outside, someone is wise enough to say, say la ilaha illallah. No response. سيشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. No response. Say أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. She says أشهد أني أرى مقامي من النار. I swear by Allah, I see my place in hellfire. Why? Why? Look at her past. I'm telling you, two categories of stories. Do you think it was a coincidence by one night, rightly and that wrongfully? These don't happen by coincidence. These happen by your life. Someone will ask, how? If I pray, if I fast, how can the days or the minutes before I die be good or bad? You know, I'm going to bring you another story about a sheikh. His name is Ahmed al-Uthman in Kuwait. A blind sheikh. With that, he said to his son in the hospital, who are these beautiful faces over here? He said, Dad, the one who bears me. He said, the beautiful faces. Someone say, that's exaggeration. I tell you, a similar thing happened in Dearborn. About 6 months ago, his wife is still living. Go ask her. She's living. And we met her. This wife, her husband was not a scholar. Why not? I'm afraid I said, no, this is concerned. He has a heart. He's on his deathbed. After a long battle with cancer. You know, his wife, take the pictures down. Take the pictures down. Why are you telling her to take the pictures down? The people around there, including the wife, don't know why. You know why they take the pictures down? Because angels don't enter a house with pictures in it. This is the Muslim's belief. You got pictures in your house. The angels of death enter the bathroom and your house with pictures in it. The guardian angels, the one who come and protect you and put confidence in you at the hardest moments of your life, they won't come in. If there's a dog, they won't come in. If there's a picture, people in that setting didn't know what this man's talking about. He sees the angels trying to come in and they can't come in. This man is dying. When you're dying, you things out of the blue. This man is saying what he's saying. The guardian angels want to make this story over. Right, the evil death are seeing that. They're a sign that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, there is a first line assurance. In some of these assurances, in the hadith, and what that which are for out of the same hadith, that is good death. Means the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told there's a good death, there's a bad death. And we're put in the khutbah, how are you going to have a good and a bad death? What's the signs of it? What's the solutions to it? أَقُلُ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين أما بعد. والله, when I was looking at the story yesterday, going through 4 books that I had with narrations, it was amazing the stories you read. So interesting. We don't have the time to go through them. What's the point of it? There's a good and a bad death. How do you know if you're going to have a good and a bad death? Which one are you going to have? You say, I pray 5 times a day. I pay zakat. I tell you one thing. Check yourself out. When you're alone, you commit sins consistently with a pattern. And when you're public, you don't commit sins. If you do, that's the number one big sign. On that last moment of your life, you're not going to say the guided word. You know, a lot of people say, La ilaha illallah. That's nothing, man. The Prophet said, if you say, La ilaha illallah, before you die, I'm going to go to heaven. As soon as I'm on my deathbed, I'm going to start saying it like crazy. No, it doesn't work like that. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. It's Allah who puts this in your mouth. Someone who's in his house, who's in his luxury, who has everything he needs around him. And you can't say La ilaha illallah 50 to 100 times a day. You think you're going to say it when you feel your soul coming out? You think so? If you don't say La ilaha illallah 50, 100, 200 times a day in a normal setting, you think you're going to say it? When the evil angels are trying to fight with the good angels, when the good angels come and try to kick out the bad angels, when the evil angels come and scare you and you want to get them away by saying La ilaha illallah, you think you're going to say La ilaha illallah if you don't say it in your comfort and in your house? It's not going to work like that. You have to say it in your comfort, in your house, to say it. And you have to say it alone, by yourself. Let me give you a scene from the Quran about the last moments of one's death. And as the Quran wants you to imagine sceneries like this, like we had last week, heaven wants you to imagine this as those happen in front of you, like a movie. That's why Allah says in the Quran, أَوَلَمْ يَرْ. Think it, imagine it, it's happening in front of you. Listen to the last moments of someone who's on his deathbed. And you work with an up. كلا إذا بلغت التراقي وقيل من راق كلا إذا بلغت التراقي وقيل من راق. Pay attention to how I read it. I don't run out of breath. Pay attention, tuck up. They run out of breath. كلا إذا بلغت التراقي وقيل من راق. You're there. You're dying. You're on your deathbed. Family. Everything in front of you. Raqiya. Taraqiya. Death starts in the bottom of your foot and works its way up. You're feeling an ump start from the bottom of your foot. You say, you, your family, your wife, man raq. Man raq. Where's 911 now? Call 911. Call them. Let's go to the doctor. Where is the doctor? Where is the medical equipment? Man raq. Man raq. You know what? You have to stop. This is one of four settings in the Quran where it's not a full sentence. You must stop. And you can't say, كَلَّا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِيَ وَقِيلَ مَنْ raq. That's wrong. You can't do that. You gotta say, man raq. You see in the Quran a tekta. Stop there. You gotta, you know why? Because the one who's dying, Allah wants you to picture the scene. Good. The one who's dying doesn't say, where's the doctor? Says, where's the doctor? If it's his family, they're afraid for him. He's gonna cut in the words. Bring the doctor, their son, the man who's dying, can't say full sentences. Allah wants you to picture it fully. وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقُ. We didn't stop there. وَظَنَّ. He thinks. I didn't finish my 4-year degree. Well, I was in a funeral the other day, on Wednesday actually, in Detroit. And it was a young girl, 16 years old. And her mother's crying. You know what she's saying? My daughter who never blossomed. My daughter who never, the flower who never blossomed. And that's all she said. Her husband's calming her down, said, we're going to put it on a tombstone. Who expected a 16-year-old who didn't see nothing of life to go under that ground, to go under that dirt, to be in that casket? That casket you think is going to secure you? It's not going to secure you from the floods that are going to go down, the water that's going to go down, let alone secure you from the punishment or the pleasure of Allah. It's one thing that's going to stay in that. Your flesh is no longer that flesh. That beautiful skin you have, that beautiful face you have, is no longer that face you're going to have over there. It's going to disperse. The bones, the same thing you're going to be there. One thing going to be left in that box. Your deeds, that's the only thing. وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقِ. He's thinking. You know, you ever have something so stunning happen to you? Well, what if it's true? You're trapping it. But it's so bad. Hey, I don't want, I know people, you tell them, I've seen it happen actually. When I was a little kid, they tell them your father died. And you know what happened? They say, no, I can't believe it. Say and change it. Kulu ghayr. Like some Palestinians say and change it. I don't want to believe that. That's exactly what happened. I didn't get 4-year degree in. I didn't get a job yet. I'm not ready to die. I'm only 21, 22. I'm not ready. وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقُ. I didn't get it. Anyway, he's thinking. He's trying to disbelieve himself. Although the death is going up. It's going up. وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقِ. It's done with. A reality. I want you all to go to the funeral. I want you all to go to a cemetery and look at those graves. Wallahi, I walked around after that. Someone died in 1800. Where is this? His grave has grass on it, meaning no one visits it no more. What's your children going to do to you? They don't even put no more flowers on that grave. That's it, you're forgotten. Wallahi, people of the 1800, you see their grave? The grass filled it. There's no. You see people who died a year and a half ago. They still got children putting flowers over there. But the point is, you're going to get forgotten. One thing's going to help you. Your deeds, your commitment to Allah. Especially those deeds that you do at the end of the night. So when you do in seclusion, don't tell me I pray 5 times a day in jama'ah. These public things are great. We need more of that. But the ones you do in seclusion, in privacy, tasbih, dhikr, Quran. How many people died in Quran? You know Sheikh Abdul Hamid Kiss who died a few years ago. He was an eloquent man who gives speeches. One of the best eloquent people who gives speeches of our time. No one in his Arabic language, in his story, I don't think anyone's any more eloquent. You know how he died? He spent his time in prison. People oppressing him. You know about it. He died in sujood. He died in sujood. That man who died in sujood is going to come to Allah on the judgment day in sujood. You think anyone who died in sujood, Allah is going to punish him? وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ فِرَاقُ وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقُ. That's it. They put his death clothes on. إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمَسَاقُ. You take him. You take him. Where are you taking him? I'm taking him to the graveyard. But he's doing one of two things. Faster. Or slow down. If he's good, he wants to say good things that are going to happen. If he's evil, where are you taking me? Slow down. Where are you taking me? This is a reality that's going to happen. That's why we need to work on ourselves, in our deeds, in seclusion. Because one who doesn't worship Allah in the luxury of his time right now is not going to be able to say it in the light. You know, last Saturday or Sunday, a doctor named Al-Juhani, probably 45 years old or so. Now, someone say, who's man Al-Juhani? A lot of people don't know him, but I think everyone knows the effect of his da'wah. You know those brochures on Islam? The colorful brochures this MSA has, other MSAs have? You know those brochures? He's the one who started them, his organization, W-A-M-Y. Nadwa Al-Alamiya Lishabab Al-Muslim. Look, he went. The guy who spoke to him in Fajr called me. He told me. He said, I spoke to each other in Riyadh and Fajr. He said, after Fajr, he said, Salaamu Alaikum. And how are you? And they exchanged kind words. And he said, you know, I've been doing so much da'wah work, I've oppressed my family. I haven't taken them out. And in his Mercedes, he takes his family out. And you know what happens? An accident. They find his finger saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. A smile on his face. His work, the effect of the work, you all see it here in America. The guy is way, way far away. You see it. Every MSA has this colorful bullshit. What is Islam? What does Islam say about Jesus? He died. And now all the effect of his work is being escalated. Allah will escalate him with that in the skies of heaven. This is what we need. Work for Islam. Prepare for those moments. I'm not saying death. Those moments before death. And that's how, inshallah, Allah will give you the righteous death. And you'll stay away from those evil. The same with evil. Wallahi, there's a story. Wallahi, it's authentic as it can be. One man committed adultery. As he was attempting to commit adultery with a prostitute. Nude. He fell dead. How's this man going to come? How's this man going to come on the judgment day? Nude before Allah with a prostitute in front of him. How's he going to talk to Allah? Another one who went to Bangkok. Wallahi, as authentic as can be. This man went to Bangkok and he had a girlfriend there. After time, he had an appointment with her. She didn't make the appointment. She stayed so long. Then she came. She was delayed for some reason. As soon as he seen her, he was asking, where is she? Where is she? Where is she? And then as soon as he seen her, he made sujood to her. You know what happened? He never got up from that sujood. Come in and making sujood for a woman, on the judgment day, going to do that. Whatever you lived your life on, sincerely, not apparently, sincerely, maybe 5 times a day, you could have a heart full of, you know, filth against your brother. This is one of the things going to deprive you of saying La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah on the judgment day. A man with cancer was on his deathbed. You know people in cancer, they pass out in coma, out of coma, in and out of coma, just before he's about to die. 3 months in a coma. 3 months. He wakes up and he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. What's the specialty of this man? His brother says he never gossiped behind anyone's back. He never has any ill feelings against another Muslim. Never was jealous or envy of other things Allah gave his brother. Allah woke him up out of a coma to say La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, and then die. Because it's the heart, it's not what's apparent, it's what's the heart that's going to stand with you. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ. Allah's going to give you the guided word. Don't worry about it. Don't say I'm going to stop memorizing La ilaha illallah. Be righteous, make dhikr, good deeds, and then Allah's going to help you out. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. All you who believe in Allah. Fear Allah as He should be feared, and fear that day, tomorrow, that tomorrow that's coming. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ. Someone will say, Allah says, fear Allah as He should be feared, and die not except in the state of Islam. How does Allah tell me not to die? Except the Muslim. Like this, meaning you're gonna die, but don't die. But as a righteous Muslim, as a clean hearted, good Muslim, and this all, what you heard, is just prior to death. That, and what's after that, is totally hours and hours of other talk. ثم صلوا على خاتم النبيين وإمام المرسلين فقد أمركم الله بالصلاة والسلام عليه فقال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه بعشرة اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء الأئمة الحنفاء أبي بكر الصديق وعمر الفاروق وذي النورين عثمان وأبي الصديقين علي وعن آل بيت نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وعن أزواج أمهات المؤمنين وعن الصحابة والتابعين وعنا معهم بمنك وعفوك وإحسانك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين ودمر أعداء الدين وأهلك الزنادقة والملحدين اللهم ارفع علم الجهاد وانصر المجاهدين اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين اللهم طهر أرض فلسطين من اليهود الحاقدين اللهم عليك بهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك اللهم احصهم عددا واقتلهم بددا ولا تبقي منهم احدا. I ask Allah as He united us today to unite us in the palaces of heaven inshallah. Don't forget to make dua for Sharif. We were expecting a baby last week but it didn't happen. Inshallah him and Elena have a very healthy baby very soon. Don't forget him in your dua. Wa akumussalam.